Good morning, Symphony Church. Today, we'll be wrapping up the Gospel of Mark and completing the first book in our one-year Bible reading plan. We'll be starting the book of Philippians tomorrow, so I hope you're prepared for even more blessings as we walk in Scripture together. Anyway, Mark 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to 2 of them, as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Amen. All right, so first, a note on the validity of this chapter. Now, if you're following along the passage in your Bible today, you may have noticed that after verse 8, there's a little disclaimer that says something like, "Some of the earliest manuscripts do not include verses 9 through 20. And you may be wondering, is what I'm reading actually reliable? If these verses weren't always found in the early manuscripts of the Bible, is it actually the inspired word of God? The best answer we have right now is probably yes. When we say that some of the earliest manuscripts omit verses 9 through 20, we're talking about like 1% of the manuscripts available to us. An overwhelming majority did include this last little portion of scripture, and we can be pretty confident in the consensus of the early church scholars. So from a statistical standpoint, every part of today's passage that we read is likely original. But even if we're not sure, we can be sure in the message it contains. From the words of Elijah Hickson regarding this topic, "Uncertainty here makes us uncomfortable, but with or without Mark 16:9-20, the tomb is empty. Jesus has purchased our pardon, and we can be certain of that." Now, to add to that, we know from the other Gospels that Jesus did appear to Mary Magdalene. We know that she told the 11 who didn't believe her at first. We know that Jesus himself appeared to the disciples. We know that Jesus gave them the Great Commission and bestowed upon them great power. And we know that the disciples went on to preach and to do great works, all while the Lord worked with them. And so, yes, as we read Mark 16, we can be satisfied knowing that what we are reading is true. All right, so with that sorted out, we find ourselves at the conclusion of the gospel according to Mark. Now, in my opinion, Mark gives the most abrupt ending to the gospel story, compared to Matthew, Luke, and John, who include more comprehensive or specific accounts to Jesus' interactions with the disciples post-resurrection. Mark gives us more of a summary of the events following the cross. One thing that he does do is share with us two reactions to the resurrection of Christ. When the woman who come to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body see that the stone was rolled away, and they're told by an angel that Christ has risen, they run away instead of sharing about the good news to their brothers and sisters. But when Jesus shows himself to Mary Magdalene, and later to the two disciples, and later to the 11, we see that they obey his call to share the good news. In Mary Magdalene's case, she goes and tells the disciples to stop mourning and weeping because Jesus is alive. Again, with the two disciples, they say the same thing. And later, when Jesus gives the disciples the Great Commission and sends them out, they go out and they preach everywhere. And we know that from the 11 springs forth the church as we know it today. It's been said that Mark wrote his gospel account very intentionally, presenting a broad view of the many miracles Christ performed and the proclamations that he made. And it all culminates in this conclusion with the question, what will you do? Over the last 16 days, we read together the good news of Jesus Christ. We read the account of our Savior's life, ministry, death, and resurrection, which redefines our reality. And now, what will you do? Will you answer the call to share the good news? To go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Something I'm always struck by when we reflect on Jesus' last command is that he gave it to this ragtag group of disciples, with no connections or real influence over the powers that reigned in the ancient Near East. And yet, they obeyed, and the Lord worked with them. We might relate a lot to the 11. We might similarly feel underprepared and underqualified to answer such a high calling. We might hesitate to share the gospel and to proclaim Christ to the people around us, unsure of whether we'd be effective, whether it'd be received. But something that we also have in common with the disciples is that we know that our Savior is alive. We know that he is with us, and that we have tasted and seen the peace of Christ, which surpasses understanding. And I pray that that spurs us to take the next step. So let's pray this morning. Let's pray and ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, help me to go and to proclaim the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, in the beginning of this gospel, we see that you tell the disciples, come and see. And Lord, similarly, we have also come, and over the course of these last 16 days, we have seen your goodness and your grace and your love firsthand. Lord, I pray that this touches our hearts. I pray that you have spoken to us every single day. And I pray that now, as we continue in the aftermath of all of the grace that you've poured out to us on the cross, and how you've conquered death in your resurrection. Lord, help us to share this good news with other people. I pray for my brothers and sisters that we'd be bold and courageous in going out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.